Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me okay, because I've chosen this microphone and not the one that dangles round your ears, which I find difficult. But it's good to see you. It's always good to come and join with you. And what a topic this morning to be thinking about this vision that John had, the Apostle John had in later life, at a time of great difficulty and persecution that the church was going through in about the 90 AD, that sort of setting that we see. And it tells us that he was worshipping on the Lord's Day. He was praising and praying worshipping God. And God took him off into this unspeakably amazing experience. I don't know whether God's ever taken you off like that. I was thinking, had he ever taken me off like that and in all these years of walking with him? But there have been sublime moments here and there, but often we're so anchored in the finite, aren't they? What's happening here now? That, you know, to think in these visionary terms is not always easy for us. And yet God wanted to tell John something that he could convey for posterity. And here we are today hearing about this amazing experience that he had as we read it in the book of Revelation in chapter 4. Not an easy book to understand. And I don't profess to understand all of it at all. But we have to pull out what is clear to us and just try and take the rest of it and fit it together. But I don't know what your idea of heaven is. Is it the pearly gates, you know, great big pearly gates? We call them Grimsby gates because where I used to live, lots of houses had great big iron twirly gates. But do you imagine heaven like that? Or a big door? Or, I don't know, dancing cheek to cheek? Or lying endlessly on a lovely warm beach in the sunrise? I don't know what your concept of heaven is. In a way, it's something that we sort of slot up there, isn't it? Because it talks about the future when we're not going to be here anymore. And we don't like to necessarily worry ourselves in some respects about what's going to happen when this earthly existence that we have is wrapped up and gone. But really, we do have to. And as Christians, it shouldn't be daunting to us, should it? But sometimes it is, often it is. And I think especially as we approach those senior years of life, and I've just reached another decade this last month, so it's very, very pertinent to me as well that the years are passing. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, your best years have gone now when you reach your 70s and above. And oh, what have we got to look forward to? And this is from Christians. Oh, it's all downhill from now on, you know. And I'm thinking, what? What? How does that relate to this here? How does it relate to what God is saying to us in these visions of this other world, this heavenly realm that we are invited to? Because this is what John said, I saw before me an open door. The door to heaven is open. It is not a big, padlocked, drawbridged, defensive door that keeps everybody out, but it is now an open door. And when he proceeds into his vision, he has this amazing experience, this assault on the senses. And when he saw this door, didn't just see it, he was invited in. Come up, come in. There was no barring at that door. And it reminded me, have you seen those doormats that say, oh no, not you again? Have you seen them? My mother wanted to buy one until I persuaded her not to. She thought it was a huge joke. There's no doormat at heaven saying, oh, no, not you again. No, off you go. This door is open, and it's open wide. John was invited in to see this amazing spectacle, and he accepted that. He accepted the invitation. He saw the open door. He heard a commanding voice. He received an invitation. He felt a deep, intense spiritual experience of God himself, such as he perhaps never experienced before. All whilst he was praying and worshipping on the Lord's day, he experienced a sight that we could only imagine in our wildest dreams. Such a vivid description here, which is exciting, such an assault. But the main thing is that there is the throne of God in the center of heaven and all these images of worship going on around him. There's no doubt who is boss in heaven, who is supreme, who is almighty, who is the God of the universe. There is no doubt that God is in charge of both heaven and earth. Whoever we might think is in charge today. In those days, it wasn't the Romans that were in charge. It was God himself. John was in this situation of persecution from the Romans. But God was showing him that he was in charge. It's not Putin and Trump or whoever else we might think it is today. God is in charge. He is enthroned in heaven. He is supreme above all. And this vision of the radiance of God, the dazzling light and brilliance, glory, precious gems, lasers, lightning, thunder, voice booming out, the sea of glass, the 24 elders and their thrones, likened to, in the Old Testament, the 12 tribes, in the New Testament, the 12 apostles, the old and new covenant, all represented there. And the Holy Spirit, the torches of the Holy Spirit, such that the whole multitude that could not be numbered, trillions upon, I don't know how you write it mathematically, but anyway, infinity, all bowing down and worshipping God. Fantastic. Can you see yourself there? It's a bit too much, isn't it? A bit too much, really. But that's where God trusts and hopes and wants every human being on this planet to be. But there is a but, isn't there? Because not everybody wants that. Not every, medieval. It's all tripe, baloney. But God's heart's desire is that all mankind would be in experiencing that event. So that took me thinking on to about another door. We've got the door of heaven and the splendor of heaven. And I thought about Jesus walking this earth, saying to the crowds, I am the door. I am the door of the sheepfold, that place of safety and security for my sheep. Whoever enters through me shall be saved. Whoever enters the sheepfold through me shall be protected and sheltered and saved. Jesus is our door as well. The door of heaven is only open wide because Jesus has died to save us and let us in, and he welcomes us. For all of us who love and know and follow Jesus and have experienced his forgiveness are welcome in that place. Not just now here, but then, you know, when our earthly tent is folded up and we don't need it anymore, when life passes on into death, into the shadows that we're not sure about. But what we can be sure about is that Jesus has opened the door and that we can go through into that splendor and the presence of God. And we can actually have a foretaste of that here and now, can't we? As we were saying at the beginning, have we experienced that sublimeness? You might have experienced it in a special prayer time, in prayer with God. I remember being in a tent, a huge marquee, with several thousand people, and we all fell silent under the presence of God, for several minutes, and it was amazing. And then all of a sudden we heard the fall of rain, and it was like the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And alternatively, I remember being in another similar meeting where there was such praise and singing and waving and jumping and laughter and praise and worship, like a big party, and God just was in the midst of us. And we experienced him in a way that some of us had never done before. It can happen now. It will happen in the future as we trust God for his heaven and earth. But there's a balancing act, isn't there? There's, you know, God wants us to know this sublimeness of his presence. But he also reminds us that whilst we're here on this earth, on this planet that he loves, that he created, we have a job to do, because there are ones that aren't yet at that open door, that wide open door that God wants them to walk through. They haven't heard. They don't know. They don't care. Some of them don't care because they don't know. And it's our job to tell them, isn't it, to reach out and spread that good news. And this made me think of a third door in Revelation chapter 3, just before John was in the middle of his vision, before he had the vision of heaven. He heard Jesus saying to a small church called Philadelphia in Asia Minor, one of these young Christian churches, "I have set before you an open door that no man can shut." He was speaking to that church, saying, "I have opened the door. I've opened the door. No one can shut it. And you have been faithful." This church was small. It had experienced persecution. It was weak in some areas, but it had been faithfully serving God, spreading the gospel, working out into its local community, so that others could come to the point of knowing Jesus as the door, and Jesus leading them into that place where they would know God and experience him. And I was thinking in terms of our role, and we had a reminder last week about our gifts and talents and our treasure and how we use them and how we devote them to God. And I'm so glad Chris is here. He's going to give a word just a bit later to tell us about Christians Against Poverty, CAP, that we are hoping, we are launching. It's on the way. It's on the way up. Where people, particularly who are crippled and their lives broken by debt and poverty, can be released and given a new way of living. And we'll hear about that. But that's just one example of how church has an open door to reach out to those who don't know Jesus and who can have an improvement of life. Some people live in hell on earth, don't they? You know, they do. Maybe sometimes we have, because of illness or, you know, circumstances we never imagined would happen to us. And Jesus wants heaven to come into that hell that they're experiencing, so that they can be released and blessed. A fourth door I was reminded of was where Paul the apostle, in his letter to the Colossians, said to the church there, pray that God will give us an open door and that we can share the wonder of the gospel and the new life of Jesus. A door of prayer is there for us to pray for, that others will come to know the love of Jesus. So having looked at doors opening to take us to this amazing place, this heavenly experience, this realm where God is with us, because heaven really is just where God is, knowing God here, knowing that we will know him when we move into that heavenly realm, I thought about some windows, doors and windows today. And we were reminded again, I think, last week, but if we weren't, I'm reminding us today, that God says, if we bring all, everything that we have and are into the storehouse, into his presence, available to him, he will open the windows of heaven, wide open windows of heaven, and shower down blessing, blessing on us. The God who challenges us to give our lives, to trust Jesus as the door, to know that we can open, walk into that open door in the heavenly realms, will shower down blessings here on earth, such that we cannot imagine, such that we cannot imagine. What a thing to look forward to. Blessings of God, an open door in heaven, the presence of Jesus, the well done from God. That is something to remember on a rainy morning in Malvern, isn't it? May God bless us and bring that joy that he wants us to know as we live our lives in him, as we look forward and as we're challenged to bring the good news to others that don't know that. Amen.